Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey, Sheila. So we've been friends for what, nearly 14 years now?
I think about that. Yeah, although we've been really good friends for about half of that, but that's kind of a part of our story, isn't it?
It is. Well, at least for now, we're really good friends in large part because we've learned to be honest with each other. But it's not always perfect. Nevertheless, we're learning a lot by being imperfectly honest and thought you might too.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved. Hey there, Elizabeth.
Hey Sheila, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm a little slow going today, but I'm glad we're doing this. It always puts me in a better mood.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and same here. So let's just jump into it. And I guess I'm going to take the lead a little bit because it's something that I've been really thinking about a lot. And I want to try to set the tone for how we're going to talk about this. And so you and I have actually had a few conversations, personal conversations, since our podcast episode a couple back about relationships. And we agreed that we really wanted to explore the issue a little bit more, but we weren't quite sure in what vein. And then I read an article last week, and it kind of set things up for me in my head. And I sent it to you. That's kind of, like I said, setting the foundation, the groundwork for this. And so I'm just going to jump right in and share a few quotes from the article that kind of set it really well in my head, and then hopefully, if you're agreed, we'll just jump in from there. Does that sound good?
Great.
So the first quote I'm going to read, it says, "In truth, our culture is broken because while we have acknowledged the limiting nature of the peasant to princess storyline, aka Cinderella, we have not done the same for the prince. Over the past 60 years, as girls and women have fought their way into classrooms and boardrooms, society has expanded its idea of womanhood accordingly. Yet our definition of manhood has failed to evolve alongside it." And essentially, the article, and this is somebody summarized it, the ideas that that quote, I think, puts forward is that a generation of resentful young men has arisen from the cultural norm dictating that men must be the breadwinners. So I know that's two big mouthfuls, and hoping we can kind of break it down into where it really kind of resonated with us. But I want to just throw it to you for a minute to make sure this is kind of where you were thinking we were going to go.
Yeah, I think that sounds great. I think we should just kind of take it piece by piece here, and I'll let
Yeah,
you take the lead.
I agree. So in looking at the things that I just read and thinking about it, I kind of agree that we're kind of in a place where society, I think over the last 50 years, probably since I was in my teens, things have really changed pretty dramatically for women. And one of the things, you and I actually talked about recently is just the fact that, like, in the early 70s, a woman couldn't even have a credit card.
Right, not
And
until 1974.
I mean, that's like the year I graduated from high school, and I didn't know it because we didn't have credit cards that much. But once I was eligible, I was able to get one, and people before me couldn't. And then, of course, there's so many other ways in terms of just owning property and, they're actually the laws being enforced that you can't discriminate because somebody, their gender's female. And, so there have been a fair amount of inroads in terms of the way women are able to approach things both in the workplace, financially, as we just discussed. And even this figure in this article really jumped out at me that currently college enrollment, it's 42% male and 58% female. And so, I'm spouting a lot of figures. It's just, I'm kind of giving the history and saying, this is where we are for females right now. But culturally, I'm feeling like in things like dating and even sometimes roles in marriage, we've kind of not been at the same pace. And I think that's can be very confusing for males. Not that I should be speaking for males because I can't, but it's just my perception.
And I think it's confusing for females, speaking from my perspective, which dovetails into the reason why I wanted to do this recording in the first place, is that I have this opportunity to have a blank slate right now. I am in a transition with my career. I just got out of a 20-year relationship, and I'm learning that there's some innate things in me that I'm not sure I fully understood. And I'm still not sure I totally understand it. But I do think that men and women are wired differently. And when I say men and women, gender is a fluid term, and I want to be careful about that. They've done studies and they say that the majority of men have quote unquote masculine qualities, and the majority of women have quote unquote feminine qualities. And so I think that people who are more masculine and people who are more feminine, regardless of gender, have some innate qualities. And, speaking for myself, because I know that there were so many blood, sweat, and tears poured into giving my generation equal opportunity, I have always felt like I needed to take advantage of that, and that doing things like domestic chores when I had the opportunity to be out and in the workplace, like no generation had had that same level of opportunity, that I needed to take advantage of that to respect all the work that had been put in to give me that opportunity. And so,
So I don't
go
mean
ahead.
to, but I want to introduce you because I think if I don't, what you said before would get lost. And I want to ask you, when you say there's innate differences between males and females, for me, in terms of this discussion, it might be helpful if you gave a few examples, a couple of examples, what you would consider male qualities versus female qualities, things that are inherent in each gender. You said the majority, and what you feel those are, because it's your opinion, and you are very clear in expressing that it's your opinion. So, would that be something you could do just briefly?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I can list all of them because
Oh,
there's a
yeah.
lot, but I'll just give you a couple examples. So I believe that people who are more feminine tend to have more empathy. Just as one example, I guess I'll just call him my friend. I've been seeing someone, and I'm not exactly sure how to define our relationship at this point, but he's a male friend who's very masculine. And,
But see, okay, I'm going to
okay.
stop. What does that mean? He's more
I will,
masculine.
I'm trying to
Oh,
explain
okay.
that.
Sorry
Yeah.
about that. Sorry about that.
So I tend to just often be thinking, is he comfortable? Is he going to want to do this? How's he feeling right now? I just have those natural empathetic feelings, and he just doesn't. And it's not that he isn't a caring person, because he's a very caring and kind person. But it's just not natural for him to be thinking about whether I have a full water glass at the dinner table, for instance, and whether I might want some more water. He kind of just doesn't have that natural feeling. And that might not be the best example because that's a little bit more of a domestic chore. But I believe that femininity brings empathy a lot of times. I think masculinity can bring decisiveness as well as, well, let's just use that as an example, decisiveness. So going back to what I was saying before, which is that I have wanted to respect all of the work that went into giving me equal opportunity. I always felt that in my relationships that I should make decisions for myself. And don't get me wrong, I still believe that for decisions around my well-being and things like that, that I want to be in control of those things, or at least have the agency to make the mind decision if I want to. And I've also learned that I get a lot of anxiety about stupid decisions, about like when to leave for a trip or where to go on a trip or whether we should go out to dinner or eat in and things like that. And I always felt like I needed to be the person in the relationship at least 50% of the time who was making those decisions because we had equal opportunity. And I found that I actually find a lot of relief when my partner just kind of makes those decisions. And I want to be able to say, no, I don't want that. And for my partner to say, okay, we can compromise on this. But I do think that people who tend to be more masculine are a little bit more naturally inclined to be decisive. And I guess in all of this, what I'm discovering is that maybe just accepting that there are some of those differences and leaning into the strengths and weaknesses that might be innate in the different masculine versus the feminine can lead to a more spacious and happy relationship rather than fighting to fit into what we quote unquote should be.
A few thoughts popped up as you were talking. Is that okay if I kind of
Yeah, of course.
explore them a little? So the examples that you gave, like when you gave an example that in a relationship you've felt in the past that you had to be the decisive one, like you were making the decisions. And I'm assuming, because you've been transparent in explaining that you were married for 20 years, that you're pretty much going back on your experiences in your marriage. And now you're finding you're with a different person who does things very differently than that. And you're attributing to some extent, and I'm not arguing, I'm just kind of stating what I'm hearing is that that's a more masculine quality. Where as you were talking, the thought was bubbling up in my head that isn't it just a difference in personalities? And I'm not saying you don't find it more in the male gender than the female gender, but is it ingrained? Like, is it kind of the nature versus nurture, or is it how we kind of come up through childhood? What we are praised for, what we get pleasure because of other people's reactions from, and then that kind of cements somewhat of that behavior, as opposed to male, female are just wired differently.
Yeah, I think it all depends. That's why I don't think it's necessarily male or female. I think it's masculine versus feminine. So there are women who are more masculine than many men, and vice versa. And I think that nature versus nurture definitely comes into play here, but in general, I believe that we have had 200,000 years of evolution, and that, I was born in 1981. Women could not have credit cards until 74. So I'm the first, maybe the second generation that had relatively equal opportunity. And I don't think that we can expect that, even though that change was made so quickly from a legal standpoint, it doesn't mean that 200,000 years of evolution can just be shifted.
Right, culturally, and I am in total agreement about that. And actually, just to maybe finish up the point that I was kind of moving for. When you use the term masculine, this person, like some women are more masculine. I kind of have a little bit of a visceral reaction against that. I'm more thinking there could be another, I don't know if it's a noun or an adjective, but like assertive. And yes, it seems as if, especially, I'm 68 years old, throughout my life, assertiveness was probably praised more in males because of a lot of the cultural norms. It was. It, I mean, gosh, before, before my time, women were very dependent, as we've said, financially. So you, as a woman, you couldn't be assertive. Like it didn't get you anywhere because you didn't have, as you say, the tools, the financial tool, whatever, to be like that. So I guess that was the point I was trying to make. The things that we would, if we were making a chart, masculine versus feminine qualities, I think a lot of those came about because of the circumstances more than that males are actually predominantly wired that way. There's a lot that are, and there may actually be more. I don't know. I can't get into the biology of it, whatever. But I think the point I'm hoping I'm coming back to the original point I was putting out. I think this change has just been very difficult for the new generations of males coming up to try to assimilate. It's like, how do I behave? What are now the acceptable norms of society and culture for me? It used to be okay, you were tasked with this huge, overwhelming thing. You're the breadwinner. That's it. It's a given. And so with that overwhelming responsibility came the ability to be making the decisions, the ability to kind of assert yourself more in a lot of situations, get your feelings of what you wanted the direction to go in out. And now it's kind of changing because women are given permission to be assertive. And so it's like this dichotomy of how assertive can I be? And I can't solve the problem. It's just reading the articles, this original article had a lot of links. And one of the things it talked about even just the dating circumstances, the dating culture, where we're still kind of in a place where when P and I experienced it because after my divorce, I did some online dating, whatever. And especially that first date before you get to know anybody, you don't know what you're supposed to do when the check comes. There's always this moment, and it's pretty much, the default. It's okay, the male is the one who picks up the check. And part of that might be because I think even though, we have the swiping and this and but I don't know. I'm not, again, a social scientist, whatever, but I think a lot of the situations in dating, it might be initiated by the male. And so then there's this thinking, well, you initiated it. So then you have to pick up the check. But it's still a conundrum because from my own experience when I was dating, I can remember one circumstance where I went out and I always like to split the check, especially because I was just meeting somebody. I guess I didn't want to feel beholden to continue anything. And one of the people that I dated briefly, one date, got, pushed back a lot when I said, and it was not even a huge, it was a lunch. It actually took me aback quite a bit. Thinking, wow, how would you be in another circumstance if this is something that you feel so strongly about? And you don't know that I don't feel strongly, but you're still expressing your opinion. So, like, little, it seems like a little thing, but it's kind of huge.
And on the flip side of that, I think that actually accepting financial support from a woman can be a masculine move. So I think that women and men can, well, I know women and men can be in different financial situations. And I've seen this a lot with entrepreneurs who take a big financial risk to become an entrepreneur.
And therefore, they may not have the same financial flexibility as their female partner. And when those men are unwilling to accept support from a female partner or a female investor, then I actually see that as a less than masculine move because they're not able to grasp the larger opportunity, I guess. Yeah, I'm realizing as we're talking through this that I don't have this clear in my head. I really thought I did
No,
before.
I agree. I mean, and that's what attracted me to this, because if we don't have it clear in our head, I feel for generations behind us, aren't my generation still, it's so confusing. It's, in some ways we do enjoy what I think you would consider the masculine behavior, which masculine behavior in the past used to be breadwinner, the one who pays, the one who supports. So even the example you just gave about the startups, that could be what's inside the males that you're talking about. Like they're still thinking, no, but I'm supposed to be the one who has more money. And to that point, because we talked about it, and again, this article that I read alluded and really kind of entertained me to some extent, talked about rom-coms from like 1990 through maybe 2010. They did another article kind of broke them down. And it was looking at the heroines who are the lead. Like rom-com essentially, if anybody's a fan, it's usually, I mean, there's always kind of a romance, because hence rom, but usually they have a pretty strong woman in the lead role, AKA a Sandra Bullock or a Julia Roberts, or you get it. And yet in and I think they looked at about 32 of them, the male who usually they ended up with, no spoiler alerts here, that's kind of the definition of a rom-com, was the majority, and maybe even the overwhelming majority of the time, at a higher level professionally or financially than the lead woman. Now, there were, yes, some there were, they were equal. That was the next tier. And then there were actually a few, not many, where the woman actually was higher. But again, not to belabor the point, overwhelmingly, we enjoy watching, and we're kind of it's assimilated into our way of thinking to some extent, that kind of way of thinking of what we enjoy in watching. And I think that kind of adds at this point, as you say, you view these like taking care of the household chores and everything, you feel you need to rail against that internally because you feel like we've come so far. Why should we be doing that? Yet, on the other hand, there are things that we could also say, well, we've come so far, so why are you feeling like you like men to make the decisions? Why does that make you comfortable? Again, not arguing, just saying that it's just a really confusing, to use this word, which I really love, dichotomy. It really is. And I think it's in this day and age, I know you express confusion, I have confusion, but my empathy is showing, like female empathy. I really have empathy for males who may really not be sure, how am I supposed to navigate things now? And I think, and I'm not going to get, this is not a political discussion. I'm not going to get into what a lot of, been written recently about the way our society is now, but I think it's led, as I said at the beginning in that quote, to kind of angry young men not being sure, where's my place? I feel like I can't do anything. I feel like I can't navigate things right. Yeah.
And I don't have the answer. So sorry. I mean, I have two sons and I think they're doing a spectacular job. I see them in their relationships. They're both married, they have children. And when I view them and I think of the difference, because I was a product of my growing up and then I was a stay-at-home mom for 15 years. And when I view their relationships from an kind of outsider looking in, I'm like, wow, I think they're getting it right. I'm sure it's not
Right.
easy, but it's kind of, it's something that really a lot of thought and effort has to be put into, whereas before, I'm not quite sure it required that much. And I'm not sure how supportive we are as a culture or society to acknowledge that maybe we need to have more direction in this particular issue.
Well, and also I think from my experience, I'm learning that just allowing myself to do things that just feel right versus then what I think I'm quote unquote supposed to do might be a better path. So I do think I have a lot of empathy. I am able to predict when someone is going to need something and why. And before I would feel like, oh, I'm not going to take advantage of those strengths because I want to stay focused on earning more money and achieving as much as I can and things like that. And ironically, a lot of times achievement can actually be achieved by leaning into empathy because it helps you build better relationships and recruit better employees and things like that. And I'm just not really sure that I understood the power of that stuff before. Because I was kind of trying to model myself after the typical male executive from the past, because that's who achieved success in the past. And so I think, regardless of whether it's in a relationship or in a boardroom, for me, I'm going to just start tuning in to what feels natural and instinctual for me and figuring out how to leverage that.
Yeah, no, and I think if it's okay, I'm going to allude to one of our conversations again outside of this forum, where we talked a little bit, as you talked a little bit about the startup situation and the money, and we talked a little bit about some of the perceptions, your perceptions maybe, about the male versus female reaction. In terms of, for example, if a startup was struggling and probably maybe not going to succeed, which I would assume means financially, that, and I'm not saying you said this in, a stereo, like it happened every time, but you were feeling like maybe when a male was in charge, that decision to kind of pull the trigger happened sooner than when a female was in charge.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say this. I might raise some eyebrows saying this in public, but from my experience and working now with hundreds of entrepreneurs, when things get tough and it's clear that the business is just not going to work out, I think it is harder for women to just shut the doors than for men. And I think that's in large part because they have empathy for their employees, they have empathy for their investors who believed in them. They really want to do what they said that they would do. And they waffle on that decision as a result. And men, I think, are just more likely to say, we're done here, good or bad. I think that has been my experience from what I've seen.
And again, I think I pushed back when we first talked, or maybe in a follow-up conversation. And you have your experiences, but I'm gonna maybe flip it a little bit and say, could some of those circumstances be that the woman, yes, I admit, maybe more empathy was involved, but acknowledged the reality, but was slowing it down a little bit? because of the impact on all those people you just mentioned, you know, the staff and the investors. And so maybe the male, let's pull the trigger right now because, you know, let's rip the Band-Aid off. It has to happen quickly because that's the best financial decision. Whereas a slower way of approaching it may have proved to be the best kind of people decision. And they would get to the same place, but the female might be getting there a little slower, taking other things into account. Because you used the term success a while ago, and I don't even remember what the context, so maybe I shouldn't even go down this road, but it's like, what is success? Is success meaning you have a lot of money, you have a lot of power? Or is success meaning, and success for females a while ago was they're a good parent, or they have a marriage that they make it comfortable, because that used to be the only way that they could achieve success. And I know we try, and I, you know, it's not like I'm creating this whole concept, but I feel like we haven't quite gotten there where we do define success in a lot of different ways. I still think we're kind of in that, how much money's in your bank account? What's your title at your job? And yeah.
Well, and I think that topic is a whole nother big question. But Sheila, I have a question for you. So in this podcast, I've noticed maybe six times or so, you've said something like, I'd like to do this. If it's okay, is it okay? Like you were asking permission. And in my humble opinion, I do not think that a man would have asks for permission like that, the typical man, masculine man. And I don't think that a man would have actually thought to ask that, to think about whether the other person was comfortable in that way. And I'm just curious, do you think that that's something that you learned, or do you think that that's an innate feminine quality that you have to check in with the other person?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think it's my personality, for one thing. And I also think part of it is the actual circumstances of this podcast, which is, I mean, we're co-hosts together, but I do feel a sense of needing to be deferential because you're funding it. And I feel as if, and we've had these conversations that the larger imperfectly honest branding, et cetera, is something that you're looking to go forward with for a lot longer than I may. And so I think that has a place sometimes when I do say that kind of thing as we're recording.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, you know, I don't want to get to the end of a recording and then, you know, have you say, I really didn't want to go down that path. And yes, some of it is my personality. I don't know if that's because I'm female. I think it's because it's just, again, I hate to overuse this term empathy. I mean, I value that quality in both male and female, where they're thinking about how the other person's feeling and wanting to be sure they're not making them uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, from my experience, and I have read some research to back this up, but I don't remember where, but I think that this is somewhat analogous to an investor entrepreneur situation in which the investor is funding things and is in somewhat of a, I don't know, a little bit higher on the totem pole, for lack of a better way to say it. From my experience, female entrepreneurs defer and check in to make sure the other person is comfortable a lot more than male entrepreneurs do, even when the situation is exactly the same. I do think that that is a female quality, and I'm not sure if it's innate or learned. But I think that it can have some benefits. I think that it helps build relationships and build trust. And I think it can have some drawbacks. And a startup in particular, you got to move fast and you need to be decisive. And you can make yourself crazy trying to make everybody happy in that process. And you have to be willing to make some people unhappy. So I don't know. I don't want to be in the business of saying like all women are this way, all men are this way, and that certain qualities are because we're men versus women. I just have been feeling for me that I think that I have some innate qualities that I've just ignored for most of my life because I felt like I was supposed to ignore them. And allowing yourself to just really feel your instincts can prove to be beneficial, in my humble opinion.
No, I agree, and I think part of what we've been talking about and this conversation has kind of acknowledged that, whether it is, as you said earlier, you're wired that way or you came up kind of from being a small child and getting praised for some qualities and not praised for others, and so then they became stronger.
Right.
And now they're innate, and now they're innate in you. And then as you became an adult and got into the whole entrepreneurial world, startup world, you could have leaned into other qualities. But those other, the initial ones I was just talking about are still there. So that's what's so confusing about it. It's like none of them are bad. Like when you were just talking about the hesitation sometimes with male versus female entrepreneurs to make decisions unilaterally and not solicit opinions from everybody. And you explained it. You said sometimes that's good, and sometimes there are benefits to soliciting the opinions of others and looking out for what they might be thinking. And I feel like if we could just come to some kind of middle ground for it, because I do feel as if the unilateral decisions, my way or the highway, is a fact of life more in business than trying to see can we bring a collective opinion to the circumstances more. And again, I'm not, I'm not running a company. I can't give any opinion as to what leads to financial success, but I don't know that there's ever not a benefit to making somebody who you work with feel like you value their opinion.
Right. And one thing I'm realizing as I'm thinking through this stuff is that regardless of what I want to do, I feel so grateful that I have the choice. I'm learning that I actually enjoy waking up before my partner wakes up to make breakfast, for instance, and that that's something that I never wanted to do because I thought that it was like me admitting that I was somehow less than. And I'm just really glad that I can make that choice. And most of the generations before me have not had that choice. So we have a real opportunity to be able to accept that we, not all men are the same, not all women are the same. And that there might be some innate qualities that enable us to be stronger in some ways where our partners may be weaker, and that that could be a winning combination to combine those traits. And I'm forever grateful from all the women and men before me that gave me the right to choose.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. And maybe just to kind of bring this for full circle, I totally agree. I loved, your example, analogy, whatever, about feeling, if you want to go down early and make breakfast, in the past you would feel like this is a female role. I don't know how I feel personally, but I know I'm not supposed to be doing it.
Right.
And you feel so grateful now that you have that choice, because in the past, sometimes women, they had to do it. They didn't have a choice. I guess if I want to close with any thought, I'm not feeling like we have brought our culture, our society up to where males are in that same position, that they can let go of some of the norms, cultural responsibilities, perceptions that they were handed over decades, centuries, without appearing weak. And
Yeah.
I wish we lived in a world where we're at least acknowledging and moving towards it where that is not the case.
Yeah, and I also want men and women to be able to lean into those qualities. Let's take men, for instance, lean into those qualities without being perceived as a domineering jerk. So it's like a no-win situation. If they pick up the tab, then women can see them as being domineering. If they don't pick up the tab, women can see them as being weak.
Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. And I think that's what has been banging around in my head, how difficult it is to, again, using the term navigate the world today if you're male. And I know that, people could like roll their eyes or something. Oh, males, they have it, they've had it so good. But, we're not living in the past. We're living right now. And whatever the new generation of males are experiencing, it's theirs. They didn't experience the other.
Right.
They weren't in the 60s where, yeah, it was a whole different story, or the 50s, not the, So it's like, let's just at least acknowledge
Yeah.
that this is their experience. I don't know. I hope we were, I think this episode reflected the conversations we've had leading up to it, is like, I can't get my thoughts straight yet. And
Right.
I think we kind of did a little bit, but I think we also expressed a lot of confusion. I don't know how to feel. I don't know what to do. But I don't know that that's a bad thing, because essentially that's the overriding theme of what we were trying to talk about. The confusing place we are with this.
Yeah. Well, that might be a good way to just end it, and that we're confused. Other people are probably confused. And if you don't hear from us again, it's because we were canceled from our comments.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
I don't really think we have to worry about that, given the fact that we have a very small core of listeners, small but very nice, very supportive. So yeah, I think canceling us wouldn't really, there wouldn't be like a blip.
well, I like to think bigger, and that may be where we are today, but I don't think it's where we will stay. And
Oh, okay.
we have potential to be much bigger. So who knows? This could be pulled up 10 years from now in a confirmation hearing or something.
I can't blame you for going there in terms of the things that we read every day. But yeah, I don't know. You probably have that to worry about more than me.
Well, we'll see. All
Yeah.
right. Well, thanks for being ambiguous with me, and
Yeah, yeah.
until next time.
Yeah, until next time. Bye, Elizabeth.
Bye.
The Imperfectly Honest podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. This podcast does not provide medical advice and is not intended as a substitute for the diagnosis and treatment provided by a licensed, trained physician, psychotherapist, or other health professional. Note that, notwithstanding that any of the guests on this podcast may be licensed professionals, no one on this podcast is providing or seeking to provide the listeners of this podcast with any medical or health services. You should not rely on the information or content presented during this podcast, and you should not make any health or medical-related decision based in whole or in part on such information. Consult a healthcare professional licensed in your state for all matters relating to your health, and do not disregard any medical advice, diagnosis, and/or treatment provided by your healthcare professional.
This podcast expresses the individual opinions of Elizabeth, Sheila, and their guests and does not constitute professional medical or mental health services. In sharing their experiences, names, places, and other identifying information may be changed to protect the privacy of the people involved.